Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We made it to the weekend. .. Almost. I promise I won't mail it in if you don't. We're almost there. I'm giving myself a pep talk. I'm giving you a pep talk, too. Maybe you're energized by the start of week 15 in the NFL. Maybe you're energized by Army-Navy on tap this weekend, as well as a host of other games that mean a whole lot in the NFL. Maybe you're a Ravens fan and you are celebrating what was a banner night in Baltimore. Really excited to spend these next 4 hours cruising toward the weekend. I'll just be honest. The weekend excites me as much as the football. Okay, maybe a little more than the football. And payday. You throw payday into the mix? Woo! Can I be like Ric Flair? Woo! I do that really well, don't I? I cannot whistle, and I really can't wink either, but woo! I can do that with the best of them. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up 1 hour from now, really excited, we're going to talk to longtime NFL linebacker, Super Bowl champion A.J. Hawk, who is now a member of the Dark Side. He works in media, Big Ten. He does some college football analysis and also does an MMA show on SiriusXM, which I think is really interesting. And we'll talk to him, ask him the question I ask every defender these days: how do you begin to limit Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense? The answers are always fascinating, so it'll be fun to hear what AJ has to say. And of course, as a longtime Green Bay Packer, it's Packers-Bears week, and his former coach Mike McCarthy potentially going to rejoin the NFL coaching ranks. So a lot to talk about with AJ. That's 1 hour from now here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'm excited about the Week 15 divisional battles, getting a little more of the picture of the playoffs as we're now into the final 3 weeks of the regular season. And I thought, even though we'll have our poll up asking you which game you're most looking forward to, I thought it might be interesting to approach it from another angle. What questions do you need answers for this weekend in the NFL? What questions are you going to be looking to find answers for this weekend? And yes, you are more than welcome to be a homa. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we'll talk Packers, Bears, we'll talk Texans, Titans, we'll talk Rams, Cowboys. Both those teams still have playoffs in their sights. And how about the game that got flexed to the Sunday night football spot? When was the last time the Bills got flexed? I'm not being a snarker. I don't even know if that's a word. I'm not being snarky. I'm being sincere. When was the last time the Bills got flexed? Maybe it's happened in a previous Patriots game, but this is the best season the Bills have had in a while. And for the Steelers, while they cannot catch the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC North, now they know it's wild card or bust. So the game is just as important to the Steelers as it is to the Bills, who still hold out hopes of potentially winning the AFC East. Whoa, could you imagine? That would be stunning. What questions do you have going into week 15 in the NFL? We had one big question answered. Would the Baltimore Ravens extend their win streak? Would they clinch the AFC North? That's the second question. Would Lamar Jackson have another game that makes defenses scratch their heads. What in the heaven's name do you do with that Ravens offense? He's fast. He's elusive. He's smart. He makes good decisions. He's prepared. And that's a credit to Greg Roman, the offensive coordinator, and John Harbaugh, the head coach. We're still searching for that answer. But we did have other questions answered in Thursday Night Football. In Baltimore, against the Jets, it was yet another highlight reel for the possible MVP.
First and goal, Jackson rolls out to the right, pumps once, steps up, slings it, end zone, caught! Touchdown, Miles Boykin! And the Ravens strike for a second time in the opening quarter. Power formation, double tight ends, backs in the eye. Jackson throws, end zone, Mark Andrews makes the catch, and he's in for the touchdown. He was in the record book. He was out of the record book. He's back in the record book. Lamar Jackson going to the end zone. Hollywood Brown is there. He makes the catch. Touchdown, Hollywood Brown. Lamar Jackson on second down. Wants to throw. Goes to the end zone. Looks for Seth Roberts and delivers a dime. Touchdown, Seth Roberts. A perfect throw from Lamar Jackson. And the Ravens are making it look easy. With 58 seconds left to play in the third quarter, the Hayes in the barn.
Jerry Sandusky with the calls on the Ravens radio network. Lamar goes 15 of 23 for 212 yards through the air. 5 touchdown passes. He sure is economical. Of his 15 completions, 5 of them went for touchdown passes. It wasn't quite a perfect passer rating, but he was still at 134.4. The highest being 158.3, something he's already done twice this season. Throw in 86 yards on the ground on 8 carries. He averages better than 11, well, almost 11 yards, better than 10 yards, but almost 11 yards per carry. And of course, there was that moment in the first quarter in which he eclipsed Michael Vick's single season rushing record for a quarterback. Wow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Now, we'll hear from Lamar in a bit. But most importantly, with the 42-21 win, the Ravens repeat as AFC North. No. The Ravens repeat as AFC North champions.
To the players, to the coaches, to the fans, the Ravens are the AFC North champs. And we're very proud of that. That's a great accomplishment. It's a great division. And it's our first goal. It's not our top goal, but it's our first goal. So we're proud of that. That's done. We'll move on, and we'll get to work.
I want to know, I don't know if anyone asked John Harbaugh, I want to know if they did the golf clap inside the locker room. Remember last week, when he said he told the guys they clinched a playoff spot? And he got this very tepid reaction, a couple of claps, kind of dotting the locker room, and that was it. This is something to celebrate. It's week 15, and the Ravens have locked up a division title, which means they will host another playoff game. You remember last year, they were, what, 8 games into Lamar Jackson's run as starter? And the Chargers had a game plan. They were ready for Baltimore. But this is a different quarterback. It's a different offense. Mark Ingram, Hollywood Brown, obviously the focus on the tight ends. Mark Andrews being a major piece of what this offense does. And as much as you can point to the run game, and you should, it gives them the control of the football. 218 rushing yards in this one against the Jets, who, by the way, were the second best defense at stopping the run before this game started. Doesn't really matter what your credentials are. The Ravens couldn't care less. 218 rushing yards. They're the only team in the league that averages better than 200 yards per game on the ground. They were one of the teams I wrote about in this week's column as I was focusing on the pendulum in the NFL swinging back toward the run game. But in addition to five different guys carrying the football, you also had Lamar completing passes to seven different targets. And so it's not just Lamar. They are spreading the ball around.
It's always important. Those guys work so hard. And, you know, our system built on, you know, guys, sometimes the guys have to block more than they want to. And it's great to get everyone involved in it each and every time I can.
Yeah, well, in addition to this being an offense that keeps defenses off balance, when you have so many different guys that you can throw the ball to, so many different playmakers, I mean, you can watch film, you can prepare, you can know tendencies, but there's no way, unless you guess correctly, that you're going to know what the Ravens are doing every time. Unless you figured out their signals and their calls, you know, their tells, so to speak. They played turnover-free football in this one. A couple of turnovers by Sam Darnold. And for a while, actually, I think in the first half, the Jets had more yards than the Ravens did offensively. And the time of possession wasn't that lopsided. But two of the Jets' touchdowns came in proverbial garbage time. I'm using my air quotations. In the fourth quarter, the Ravens built a 35-7 lead in this one. The Jets had won four of their last five, but certainly this one, even if they're not playing for postseason, this one kind of puts a damper on that momentum.
It sucks against any team in the NFL, but, you know, especially against these guys and especially the way that we were playing too. I felt like we were running the ball really well. Our offensive line played really, really well today. You know, I just wish, you know, obviously I could have played better.
We knew coming into this game how we had to play on offense. We needed to be great with time of possession. We needed to make sure that we did a great job with ball security. And then when we got our opportunities in the red zone, we had to score touchdowns. We didn't do it.
Coach Gase is telling the truth. They did not do it. Sam Darnold, 18 of 32 for 218 yards. I thought it was a fun coinkydink. Well, fun might be the wrong word. I thought it was an interesting coincidence that he had the same number of passing yards as the Ravens had rushing yards as a team. A couple of touchdowns for him, but also a couple of turnovers. A banner night in Baltimore. And if you're looking at standings, which is, of course, what it's all about this time of the year, you remember because of the second consecutive loss for the Patriots last week, Baltimore already had the best record in the AFC and now has a 12-2 mark, 10 consecutive wins, a 12-2 mark. We'll see what the Pats do this weekend against the Bengals. But right now, the Ravens control their own fate when it comes to top seed, when it comes to home field advantage, when it comes to a bye, which is what every team covets. It's a huge advantage for NFL teams to have a bye. Just saw this tweet from Christopher, A-Law Radio. He says, I'm the biggest Ravens fan. I just got back from the game, and the only thing that can stop the Ravens is health or weather. Speaking of health, did you happen to notice any lingering issues with Lamar Jackson and his quad? I didn't. All right, what are your burning questions for week 15 in the NFL? On Twitter or on Facebook, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We had a lot of cool matchups this weekend, and it just blows me away that we're in week 15. How did that happen? 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Again, a reminder coming up in 45 minutes, A.J. Hawk, longtime NFL linebacker, longtime Green Bay Packer, Ohio State alum. He will join us to talk week 15. I'm so excited. Thanks so much for being part of our show. Look forward to talking with you. And, you know, it's the weekend almost. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
First and 10 Ravens in the Grill Mates red zone. Jackson takes the snap, fakes the handoff, runs to the right, tucks inside the 10, and he's hit hard at the 6-yard line. And he'll be stopped there, but the pickup is enough to give Lamar Jackson, the single season rushing record for a quarterback in NFL history.
Wow.
Welcome to the fresh new page in the record book that reads only Lamar Jackson. And the crowd just getting word of that right now and giving Lamar Jackson a standing ovation.
It's pretty cool. My favorite player growing up, but it's amazing. And I'm going to cherish that forever. And just got to keep it going. You know, records meant to be broken, like he said. I heard him say that. And it's an honor for me to do it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What he said, Michael Vick, indicating that, yes, in fact, records were made to be broken. And while it's not great audio, I wanted you to hear what Vick had to say. He was sitting in a recliner watching TV with, I don't know if it's friends or family, and they knew it was coming because there's a guy in the background yelling, here he goes, he's running the ball. And then Vic recorded a message for Lamar.
Congratulations, Lamar. We knew it was coming, man. Like I said, you was the guy for the job, man. And you did it, and you did it well. Keep rushing and set the bar high, man. It's going to be amazing running for you. Appreciate everything you do for the game.
You can actually hear Joe Buck in the background, which is kind of funny. So the MVP chants were early and often because Lamar is now the single season leader for rushing yards by a quarterback. He's at 1,108 with potentially two games to go, though you wonder, certainly with the first round bye and the top seed out there, you would think the Ravens would stay the course. But there are certainly teams in the past in the NFL who've chosen to rest guys. They don't want to take the risk of injury in a meaningless quote-unquote. I mean, they always mean something. But in a game in which there's nothing to be gained by winning. So we'll see how John Harbaugh plays this. But 1,108 rushing yards this season. And I tweeted this during the game. Now, it was after the first two touchdown passes. I don't know how many people realize he also leads the NFL in touchdown passes. So he's pigeonholed sometimes as a rushing quarterback or as a running back even. But he's the first quarterback to cross the threshold for 30 touchdown passes this season. And now he's at 33. If I remember correctly from my research, Jameis Winston has 26. So he's 7 touchdown passes ahead of the nearest quarterback behind him. That's pretty amazing. I saw some quotes from members of the Jets defense once the game was over indicating, hey, we wanted to keep him in the pocket. That was the whole goal, was to try to keep him in the pocket and force him to beat us by passing the ball. But Lamar did that. He did, in fact, beat the Jets by passing the ball, a career-high 5 touchdown strikes, and now he's at 33 on the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. We know Mark Ingram is a hoot. These guys are having a real good time. Well, Ingram was playing the role of reporter on Fox with Lamar when this game was done.
Freaky L, a.k.a. Action Jackson. A.K.A. Era A Apparel. Listen, my dog. Hey, Juno, hit him. Hey, crank. All right, L. Man, you broke Mike Vick's rushing record, man. You the AFC North champions for the second year in a row. How it feel, man? Tell me how it feel, L. Freaky.
It feel good, but you know, we got a lot of season left to play. And we got two more banners to hang up.
So you're telling me the story unwritten?
Unwritten right now.
Book unfinished.
Right.
Congratulations, brother, on breaking Mike's Vick record and being the GOAT, the MVP that you are.
Appreciate it,
brother. Hey, man, Thursday Night Football in America. Back to you in the studio.
Trust.
They do love their trust. So Mark Ingram, not Mark Jackson, he's a former NBA player. Mark Ingram is probably the number one guy I'd want to interview in the NFL right now. He is a hoot. And brings so much energy and fire, which I love. But he calls them both Freaky L and L Freaky. So I guess those two parts are interchangeable. 855-212-4227. Walt is in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, I'm actually, I live in D.C., but I'm a Ravens season ticket holder. Headed back to D.C. from the game.
Sweet.
But I wanted to say, I think the Ravens are so unique in the running game that we're the only team.
Oh, no! The attack of the cell phone.
What's that?
Your cell phone sucks, but if you try one more time, we'll see if it holds out.
Sorry. I think the Ravens are a unique team that we're the only team that will actually benefit from having 2 weeks off for the starters, actually being able to rest.
You think you're the only team that would benefit from that?
I think we're the only team that would benefit in the playoffs from having a two-week hiatus.
I mean, you know there's a quarterback who's 42. I think he'd benefit from a week off if the Patriots end up with a bye. I would have to say, I understand what you're saying because it's heavy run and there's a lot of pounding, although it doesn't seem like Lamar ever gets hit. But every team at this point has got guys who are banged up and injured, and every single team would love to take those 2 weeks off, whether it's week 17, the end of the regular season where you've got everything locked up and you don't need to go out there for a win, or whether it's the bye. I mean, every team covets that week off because it makes such a huge difference.
That's true, but we're going to get 2 weeks off, and sometimes that could put a slowdown in the rhythm that we have with this winning streak, but I think we'll actually capitalize.
Wait, I don't think I follow you. Why are the Ravens taking 2 weeks off?
If we win next week, our starters would be rested for the Pittsburgh game.
So you're assuming that Coach Harbaugh is going to not play his starters week 17?
Yes, correct. 105.7 The Fan. That's kind of the talk on our local radio right now. We have a lot of callers calling in, and they're talking about, do you play the starters because we hate Pittsburgh so much just to beat them? Or, you know, do you just preserve? We got the first round by lockdown. So you want to see what your backups are going to do.
I don't think the backups matter right now, but okay. So what you're saying is it's speculation. Unless I missed something, Coach Harbaugh hasn't talked about that yet.
No, he hasn't, but he wouldn't tip his hand anyway. But
no, he wouldn't.
In the event that you win against Cleveland, we win against Cleveland, and now we go to play Pittsburgh, would you play Lamar Jackson? No, you wouldn't because you're already locked down. Which I'm a season ticket holder. I'm going to be at that game, and I want to see our backups play because in the event that our players get injured, you want to see how our backups are going to do against
playoff caliber team. You might be actually alone in that. I'm not sure how many other season ticket holders would prefer backups. That sounds like a preseason game that people complain about. So maybe you want to see them, but I think most people would rather show up at the stadium and see Lamar.
I don't want to show up to the stadium and see Lamar playing a game that doesn't mean anything.
I understand. But in terms of trying to sell me on the backups, sorry, you lost me on there.
Oh, come on. I just want to see how we would compete against a playoff caliber team without him. That's all.
All right.
I don't have to do that, but you never know.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. They obviously would have to beat Cleveland first. For that to happen, for that to even be a consideration. Walt, I hope you had fun at the game. Thanks so much for listening while you're driving. 855-212-4227. The idea of resting starters is not a new one, and we're likely to see other teams do it if it turns out that there's nothing to be gained or lost by playing your full complement of offense and defense on that last weekend of the regular season. But there's always a consideration about rhythm and timing for sure. Now, you can simulate a lot in practice, but you can't simulate full game speed. Although it depends on how much pounding guys have had, how healthy they are. I mean, this late in the season, a lot of guys would just take the day off, the extra time off. And love it. But you also don't want to lose the edge. Did you guys see the Tom Brady tweet during this game? ever since he joined Twitter. Now, he's funny with his Facebook. I don't I'm not on Instagram, so I don't follow him or see him on Instagram, but he's pretty funny on Twitter. And during the first half, his tweet was this: me versus Lamar, 40-yard dash on natural grass, but he has to wear rollerblades. Who's buying the pay-per-view? Exactly. Tom Brady has jokes.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
From the gun, Darnold dials it up, throws, it is intercepted at the 5-yard line, picked off by Chuck Clark. And Clark gets clobbered as he hits the 17-yard line on the near side. Darnold turns it over with 18 seconds to play in the second quarter.
I just got to continue to play smart, no matter what the scenario is, or, you know, I just got to play smart at all times. And, you know, when you slip up in the NFL, you get exposed. And so for me, I just got to continue to play ball and not have those critical one or two mistakes a game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sam Darnold with a pair of turnovers, one right before halftime, which killed a potential scoring drive. Ian Eagle with the call of the interception on the Westwood One radio network. And then a fumble early in the second half. And before the dust had settled, Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, they had a 35-7 lead. And I never do this, hardly ever, but certainly not with a full quarter to go. I did, though, take the chance. I risked it all and tweeted about how it was a banner night in Baltimore. And then all I kept thinking was, well, what if that one gets termed as an old take exposed? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What burning questions do you seek answers for, my friends, in week 15? 855-212-4227. A bunch of you finding me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Jets fall to 5-9 on the season. I don't actually know what the bar was for the Jets starting this season. You ask a bunch of different people, you'll get a bunch of different answers. Adam Gase's first season as the head coach, they were looking for looking for a personality and an alpha male who would lead that locker room and give it a little bit of toughness. The tough part really was Sam Darnold being out for almost a month with mono and that roller coaster ride for the offense. Le'Veon Bell, and really not about the flu or the bowling, but it's not been, at least to this point, a comfortable fit between Bell and Gase's offense. The defense had played well and performed well at times this season. So I don't really know what the bar was or whether or not this is considered an unbelievable failure. I wouldn't go that far. I don't know that a lot of people, maybe even internally, expected the Jets to compete for a playoff spot. But they still have a chance to be 7-9. If they would win the next two games. And so we'll see. We've already heard from the front office that Adam Gase is not going to lose his job, that he is going to be the coach moving forward into 2020. So if you're looking for Gase to get fired, I wouldn't hold your breath. And I also wouldn't hold your breath if you want them to go 7-9, since their last two games are Steelers and Bills, both teams that'll be seeking playoff spots if they haven't clinched already by then. So yeah, we'll see what happens moving forward. There's a lot of areas where the Jets want to improve, but it's hard to evaluate them. It's hard to evaluate Sam Darnold completely when you consider some of the challenges he's had this year, other injuries as well. I don't know if you guys happened to see the interview that he did with Christina Pink. It was aired on NFL Network a couple hours before the game, and he's got a sense of humor, but he also knows that there's a lot of scrutiny. She did, of course, ask him about the seeing ghosts comment, because that was the last time that he was on national TV. And he was okay with it. He said, I didn't even think about the fact that I was wearing a mic. It never dawned on me that that was something I shouldn't say. I was just in the moment. And, you know, it just, he said he never thought it would blow up into what it did, which I think that makes a lot of us. Let's talk to Dee, who's in Connecticut. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
Fantastic, thank you.
Hey, listen, I just got on this shift. You know, I don't really listen to you that much, so I'm a truck driver. I just got on this shift. I've been listening to you a lot lately. You got a lot of knowledge.
Thank
I just
you,
want
sir.
To make a comment. Isn't it fun to see history being made mm-hmm. before our very eyes of this magnitude? That doesn't happen every year, but, you know, Lamar Jackson, you know, we all knew that he can scramble,
mm-hmm.
but I was just hoping that he would be a good pocket passer. He proved a lot of people wrong. He's doing his thing, and congratulations to him. Now, I'm a Dallas fan. It's funny that we're in, you know, a race for the divisional title at 6-7.
mm-hmm.
That's pretty funny. Now, I want to ask you a question.
You might be the only Cowboys fan that I've talked to who thinks that it's funny, but I like it. I like your sense of humor.
It's pretty funny. I mean, you know, I know we're going to get better over the years, but my God, you don't usually see that at that with those poor records. But this Spygate thing, I want to ask you a question. What are your thoughts about that? Because I've been thinking about that a lot lately, about a lot of these comments that these Patriots fans and Patriots commentator fans. And they're giving me, you know, a different thoughts about, you know, how a lot of them are speculating whether he did it or he didn't do it. What do you think about that?
He meaning Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you tell me what you think first, and then I will, you know, then I'll hop on after that. But tell me what you think.
So I can't stand the Patriots, but I will be fair with this. Okay. Bill Belichick, we all know, you know, what he did in the past. So, you know, the way I grew up, once you start cheating, you're usually always a cheater. But in this situation, you know, I'm not going to speculate on it because, you know, it's almost like saying that he has done it, you know, and it's the truth. We don't know because the evidence isn't out yet. But, you know, when I listen to a lot of these Patriots fans and commentators that are Patriots fans, they say he didn't do it. He didn't have anything involved. He wasn't involved with this. But we really don't know. You know, and what gets me is that everybody's passing judgment on both sides, whether he did it or whether he was involved, whether it was Kraft or, you know, I just don't understand that. And that's the reason why I'm calling, because, you know, it leaves a question mark over my head. Why is everybody, you know, speculating as if there was some kind of judgment already?
Well, I think we did hear that from the commissioner and Troy Vincent, that they're in the process of trying to gather information. I know people will call me naive, and there are times in my life, you know, where I tend to take people's word for it when I shouldn't. However, I feel like this would be way too obvious that if Bill Belichick were trying to go back to that well, if they were attempting to recreate Spygate, this would just be way too obvious. They were in the press box, for heaven's sakes. I mean, there are a lot of people around during a game. And while we haven't seen the video yet, it certainly seems like it's a lot of backsides for the Cincinnati Bengals. So I feel like as genius as Bill Belichick is, he wouldn't have gone back to the same well if this was really him. And so I tend to believe that this was, and the fact that the Patriots made a statement right away, and I guess you could say it's because they got caught, but to make it that blatant to me seems kind of stupid. And Bill Belichick's a lot of things, but he's not stupid. He's usually one step, maybe two, three, four steps ahead of everyone else. And so I know that the Patriots don't get the benefit of the doubt anymore, and I understand that. That's why there has to be an investigation. But I tend to believe it just because it seems a little bit too contrived, a little bit too perfect that this crew would be taping and would be doing it during a game and that they would just hope that nobody saw that they were filming the field. So to me, that's kind of the reason why. I just feel like Bill Belichick wouldn't do the same thing again only because there are people that are now looking for that everywhere he goes or everywhere anybody with the Patriots goes.
Yeah, but I understand that. But sometimes, you know, a smart person hides things in plain sight. And Bill Belichick is not stupid. I mean, you know, that's why I said I can't really pass judgment on it yet until there's a verdict. It's just weird that, you know, he picked the Bengals that he's playing the following week. I mean, You know, I mean, he maybe.
Well,
he
that's the point. That's the whole point, is that there was a scout at that game, and this video crew, he didn't pick them. This video crew is following the scout, and it's supposed to be a web series on the scout's job. So Bill Belichick didn't pick this particular game. This video crew is following the scout. So I can understand why Belichick can say I had no knowledge of it. I mean, he's got a million other things on his plate. Does he really have time to follow around a video crew and figure out what they're doing? That to me makes sense. And then to hear another NFC official indicate that it happened to him in the past, and that he kind of tends to believe that it was an accident, or that Belichick didn't know anything about it. To me, I feel like those pieces line up. But as you say, we have to wait and find out what the NFL decides. I've actually seen some analysts say it doesn't matter whether or not it was intentional. The fact that they did it means they should be fined because of their history. D, thanks so much for your phone call. Drive safely. We're glad to have you on board. Let's quick work in Mike, who's in Tacoma, Washington. Mike, you have 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, you know, the shield, and I understand, I've heard you, you're trying to cover up for the shield. And in the east side
I'm
of
trying
the,
to do what?
The NFL. No, listen, I've heard you. You're trying to cover up for them.
Cover up
the
what?
NFL and the
cover
shield
up
and whatever.
What?
And you know.
Cover up
you know,
what? What am I trying to cover up, Mike?
Gets shot down for 2 years and England, New England. They've been down for so many times, covered up and everything. You cut me off. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Sorry. He just kept talking and thought we'd cut him off, and so we thought we would oblige. Actually, I obliged. That was not Dave. That was me. I did, in fact, hang up on him. He wouldn't answer my question, but all of that was on the air. I don't know what I'm covering up for. I'm the voice of reason. I'm trying to give you the objective, straight down the middle perspective, because most fans do not have an objective, straight down the middle perspective. That's where I come in. I don't know what I'm covering up, but honestly, I couldn't care less. If the Patriots were cheating, they should be punished. If they were careless or negligent, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a fine. Should they have known? Was it Bill Belichick's responsibility to inform this video crew that you can't film the field? Duh. I kind of feel like that's a duh, especially given their history. Duh. So I don't know where the NFL will place the blame or place the responsibility. I don't know what the video looks like. There's been a lot of talk about whether or not the video will be released, whether or not other owners have the right to see it. There is a strong push among owners reportedly to see the video, to see what was on it, to know whether or not it appears like it would give the Patriots a competitive advantage. And then I come back to, it's the Bengals. It's the Bengals. Do you really need to cheat against the Bengals? So for now, I'm just going to take it at face value for what it is. All right, coming up next, really excited, longtime NFL linebacker, Super Bowl champion, now radio host, AJ Hawk will join us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.